encouragement with her, with blessing her, that I express the glory of myself, but of one that is with me, the Spirit of truth. That's what we will hear today by the power of the Holy Ghost. And thank you for the ears that will hear, because you are with them, they will understand you. And because you are working in their hearts and in their minds, they will be strengthened by it, and they will walk in the truth. Blessed be your name. We give you all praise and glory in Jesus' matchless name. We all pray with thanksgiving and say what? Amen.
Amen.
Praise the living God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me make this statement to start us off with. Everything that is not of God is evil. Everything that takes a position against God is evil. Everything. Doesn't matter what it is. But I'm going to bring it down to our level. Everything I say, everything I do, everything I think that is not God is evil. Everything. As long as it's not of God, as long as it not stands on the word of God, that is evil. So my outward expressions, what are they? I have my words. I have my deeds or my actions, right? Pretty much sums it all up. Any of that that is not from God is a practice of evil. Amen? I also have my thoughts. The practice of my thoughts that is not of God is a practice of evil. That's what it is. We're going to go somewhere. All the things I meditate upon and the pattern with which I meditate. If the pattern I employ when I meditate does not bring me a godly conclusion, that pattern is evil. Because every time you engage it, it will bring you to an ungodly conclusion. Praise God. Oh, this is going to be good. I'm going to focus on the patterns of our thinking, because God is delivering us. Let me change that. God has delivered us.
Amen.
So the way our minds work could be evil or could be of God for a born again Christian. There's a possibility that the way we meditate on things is actually evil, contrary to God. Amen. And that does not please God at all. When you think about our minds, there are certain scriptures that really will highlight the foundation of what I'm trying to reveal to us. And we're going to start with Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Genesis 6:5. That's where we're going to start. Speaks about the propensity of our souls to be so evil, to be so corrupt. Okay. It's important that God, you understand that God is not speaking about animals or sheep and cows and cattle. He's speaking about you and I. He says that Yahweh saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Did you see that? God says, a man that saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts, that's our meditation right there. God is saying about you. God is saying about me. Okay? I hope the alarm clock just went off in your head. How? Only evil continuously. We have a propensity in our minds for evil that is so alarming. Remember I said that that which departs from God, that which is divergent, is what? Evil. Let's go to Jeremiah 7:24, if we can. Jeremiah 7:24 is going to build on this. And then after Jeremiah 7:24, we'll go to Jeremiah 17:9. Praise God. Hallelujah. But they did not listen, nor turn their ear, but walked in their own counsels and in the stubbornness of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. What is that saying to you and I? When we give in to that propensity of evil to depart from God and meditate and come to conclusions regarding anything that is contrary to God's position, God says that by reason of that, you are actually falling back into a deeper gorge than when He first brought you up. I'm not speaking about sinners, I'm speaking about Christians. No, I'm not talking about people who are lost, I'm talking about you and I. That when we don't yield, we said we must obey, we must submit. That when we don't do that, we are falling backwards to where He took us from. This is about change today. I'm going to say something else you might not like. This is not about you saying amen to me. It's not that. It's not about feeling good. It's about insisting on your change today. Because God is with you. God is with you. This is about you not leaving this place the way you came. Because God is with you. He's not going to send you home empty handed. Praise God. Now Jeremiah 17:9. Thank you. The heart is deceitful above all things, and it's exceedingly corrupt. Who can know it? 10. I, Yahweh, search the mind, I try the heart, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. Amen. Say, I'm reaping the fruits of my mind. We are reaping the fruits of our meditation. And you can cry to God all you want for help. There's only one help He will give you. You know what that is? Transformation of your mind. Go back to verse 9, please. The heart is deceitful above all things. Let me tell you something. You've been deceived. I've been deceived. And it's still going on. We believe a lie. We think a lie. We assume a lie. It is deceitful above all things, and it's exceedingly corrupt. There are certain things about us that if it weren't for the blood of Jesus Christ, belongs in hell. And He says you can't even know it. Because when you're lost in it, when you're caught up in it, you don't even understand it. When the patterns of your mind is so designed that it functions in a particular way that you don't even realize or recognize anymore why it's doing that, you have no clue, you don't have an understanding that something is wrong.
No matter what the Spirit of God does, you resist it. Because you're used to the way your mind works.
God is helping us. Now let's get deeper on this. You're going to love this. That same mind, that same thoughts of ours, guess what? That is what determines all of our actions and all we say. First, he says it's corrupt. It's evil. But let me tell you something else. Everything you do, everything you say, what you believe is determined on what you meditate on and how that pattern works.
We will see. Please go to Matthew 5:28.
Everything you're doing, everything you're saying, when you say it, is first processed, dealt with in your mind before the action comes out, before the words come out. So if the patterns are evil, you will speak evil. You will do evil. And you can call on the name of Jesus all you want. But if that doesn't change, your actions or thoughts or words will not change. Praise God.
No, 5:28, yes. Matthew 5.
Watch what Jesus says here. But I tell you that everyone who gazes at a woman to lust after her has committed what? Adultery with her already in his heart. There is no physical action here.
Do you notice the physical action?
Oh, you're with me then. I tell you that everyone who gazes at a woman to what?
Lust.
That's your meditation.
It says evil has already happened. Mm-hmm. Jesus is taking us deeper. He's taking you higher, to a higher level. Praise God. Mark 7:20. Everything we do is determined by our thoughts.
If you don't think about... Alright, we can start there. Sorry.
If you're not thinking about something, it's okay, stay there. If you're not thinking about something, chances are you're not going to do it.
If you allow anything, I don't care what it is, to get into your head and stay there and control you, you will act it out. It makes no difference what that thing is. If you let murder stay in your head, before you leave this earth, you will kill somebody. If you let hate stay here, before you will hate and hate and hate, and you can't do anything about it. Until that changes. Until this change. Watch what Jesus says. Because it doesn't go into his heart. Speaking about what we eat. Because it doesn't go into his heart. But into his stomach. Then into the latrine. Thus purified all foods. 20. He said that which proceeds out of the man. That defiles the man. Oh, it's getting better. Some people here are sick. Not because you're sick, but because your mind is sick. Oh, no, let me change that. You have physical symptoms of a sickness that is not real, only because your mind is sick. What has defiled you is what is coming out of you. That defilement can mean anything. Here, it could be your physical. Rudy was speaking it today.
Amen.
That
Amen.
Healing our disease is not just a physical disease, but our head.
Yes.
When that is defiled, I will show you. I will prove it to you. You will have manifestations in your body of that. But there's no real sickness. The only sickness is here.
Continue.
Mark 7:21. From within, out of the heart of men, proceed what?
Evil.
What?
adultery,
what?
Sexual sins,
murders, thefts. Continue. Covetousness, wickedness, deceitful, lustful desires, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. Continue. All these evil things come from within and defile you and I. All of them. And when that defilement comes, it has its own expressions. It can be outward, it can be inward. When that defilement shows up, you can manifest it in words, it can manifest in your action, or it can manifest with your physical body. You will see what I mean. Watch. Okay, I got this example from the Holy Spirit. Let's say you come to a party hungry, very hungry. You've been invited to a party, you arrive at a party, and you're so hungry, and you can't wait to eat. There's food there. And they go through all their programs, and it's kind of buffet style. And then they invite, said, now it's time to eat, everybody can just go and eat. And you're so hungry, and you can't wait to eat, and you're right next, sitting next to the food, but you don't get up because there's, ooh, I don't want to be the first. You say, I don't want to be the first. What will people think? Let me tell you what just happened. An evil thought just hit you and blocked you. And you're going to sit there hungry. You're not going to move until somebody else goes and moves, and then you move. Nobody told you that it is bad to be the first. Nobody told you that it's shameful to be the first. You said to yourself, I can't be the first. Every such thought is a blockage to the Holy Spirit. You don't believe me? Watch. I can pick any of you now and say, come up here and preach. And the first thing he's going to do is your heart is going to start racing. But wait a minute. Did you preach? No. You just thought of it, right? And your heart is racing. Why is your heart racing? Because of your thought. Why are you sweating? Because of your thought. Why? Let me tell you. People are sick because of their head. Your body will take on symptoms of a sickness. If you think you have a headache, oh God Almighty, and there is no headache, give it time, you start having headaches. Nothing physiologically wrong with you. It's just mentally. And if you don't break that pattern, remember we're talking about patterns of how we're thinking. If you don't change that pattern, you're going to live and die with that headache. No one can deliver you. No apostle can lay hand on you and cast it out. Because as soon as they cast it out, you bring it back. You can think about somebody. You can start. I can stand here and think about somebody in Africa and get happy or upset. And the person is not in front of me. How is that possible? And my physical body is manifesting that. Why? Because my mind, as a man thinketh, continuously evil is what the Bible says. So some of us, the certain things that are going on in your life now that has no cure except you cure yourself through the Word of God. I'm saying that to you. You can go to hospital from now until the day Jesus takes you home. You will keep going to the hospital. I'm telling you now. You want a healing? Don't leave this place without your healing. Determine, make up your mind, you'll get your healing. Renew this thing, see what will happen. Oh, I'm not saying this because I've mastered it. I'm saying it because I live it. I live it. I know it. It's from experience. I know the blockage. I know what happens to me. Something happens and the block comes. It hits me. And when it hits me, if I'm not careful, I just retreat. And once you retreat, boom, it's got you. Everything you're going to do is based on retreat, not going forward, according to Scripture. We're not being sensitive enough to these things. These are patterns
You know how these patterns came? They came from a broken system. That's why God, He looked at man. God said, I look at man, and their hearts are continually evil. You know why? We live in a broken world. It's a messed up world. My parents, your parents, and all the way to Adam and Eve, complete mess. The system, the world is training us to operate in a fragmented way, in a messed up way. And our minds have been trained by that. You're trained by the way your parents raise you. Don't do this, don't do that. Cook this, don't cook that. Live this, don't live this. Wear this, don't wear this. Christians get upset with other people by reason of what they wear. And don't even realize that the problem why they're upset is because in your church, they taught you not to wear that. And has nothing to do with the other person. If you don't change those blockages, you know, we are not going anywhere fast. This is the pattern of our minds. And God is going to bring you in a situation where He's going to break that. That's what God is showing me. If you are dealing with something now, it's because God is trying to deliver you. And stop worrying about who's doing what or not doing what. Face God so you can be healed. I thought about it. The only reason why God had to make me a preacher, He had to force me to speak, because I can't speak in front of people. I thought about it. I said, you know, He was just helping me. I thank God I said yes. So I broke the pattern. So when He called me to go speak, I speak. How did I break the pattern of obedience? Oh, bless God. I want you to consider this carefully. That there's something going on in your head now, in your mind, that is evil. And it's so evil that it's holding you back. And it's causing a response that is not of God. Consider that. There's something happening to you now with me in my mind that is evil and not of God. And the end result of that is to produce what is not of God. So do not accept everything that happens to you. Do not just accept things, the status quo anymore. Yeah. Do not look at yourself like that anymore. Challenge. I don't say challenge somebody else. Challenge yourself.
Amen.
Push yourself. Challenge yourself. So why do I think this? Why do I feel this now? It's not of God, and I know it's not of God, yet it's in my head.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. Mm-hmm. It will tell you, here, here's the issue. Mm-hmm. So you can deal with it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I was asking the Lord, how can a person, understand or discover those patterns of our mind that lead us towards that which is not of God? Because we're so used to it that we're not even aware that it's happening. Right? We're so used to it. We just say, that's how we are. That's what we do, you know. We're so used to that. We don't even know it's happening. Right? You take example. Do you ever wake up in the morning and you say, I'm so tired? That doesn't make sense. You just slept. That doesn't make sense. And people say, I'm so tired, I can't even get out of bed. It's your mind. Let me tell you, it's going to be a struggle to get out of that bed. You're going to push yourself. And the only reason why you will get out is there's a demand stronger than that. Mm-hmm.
If your job demands it, then you will run out of bed. I don't want to be late for work.
If you have nothing to do, there's no stronger demand than that. You will lie there. And that's when depression. That's what's depression. That's oppression. That's what happens. And guess what, brethren? I'm going to just love you all now. Every single one of us is suffering from depression. Because everything that oppresses you and stops you from entering what God wants is actually oppressing you, depressing you. So when you wake up in the morning and you say, oh, I'm so tired, I can't get up. You just slept. I understand if you've been in the farm for 24 hours and you say you're tired, it makes sense, right? But you just woke up from sleep, from rest, and you say you're tired. It's your mind. It's a pattern of your mind. And that's an alarm for you to tell you something is wrong with me. Don't ignore it. Because notice how your physical body is going to be responding. It's going to be sluggish. It's going to say, I don't want this. I don't want that. I don't want... That's what your mind is going to... Your body will start doing. Because nothing in your body now is becoming responsive. Everything wants to shut down. Because your mind is lying and telling you you are tired. And so everything wants to shut down. Say, don't do it. Don't do it. Oh, I'm so tired. I can't go to church anymore. You know what? Give it time. You won't show up anymore. Mm-hmm. Just give it time. When you let that thing get in here, Sunday, you'll find you're so tired. Physically, you'll feel tired. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you won't feel physically tired. That's what I'm saying. If your whole body will act tired. You say you're sick long enough, your whole body will act sickness. Oh, good God Almighty, God's going to help us today. Okay. If you keep confessing you are sick, let me tell you something. One day it's going to be your eye. Next day it's going to be your ear. It's going to be your foot. It's going to be your hand. It's going to be this. It's going to be this. Everything as if hell just let loose on you. And your deliverance is not going to come until this changes. You know why? If this doesn't change, the Bible teaches us that when a spirit departs from a place, if you cast that thing out and it leaves and then it comes back and it notices you're doing nothing, he said he goes and brings his friends who hate you more, and your condition becomes worse than when you first started. So it's going to migrate from your ear hurting you to your nose hurting you. There is nothing wrong with you. You feel the symptoms, I agree. You feel the pain, I agree. But there's nothing, one thing wrong with you, except here. When this changes, the pain will go. The symptoms will go. All of that will go. It's just the way it is. Well, how do I know? Why am I speaking to you and I'm not afraid? Why? Why am I preaching and I'm not scared? Why am I not anxious and I'm preaching? It used to happen. It used to happen. Why is it not happening anymore? This got delivered. And so my hands not sweating. The symptoms gone. The same things when our mind is delivered, you will see the symptoms will go. Hallelujah. Stay with me, please. Thank you, Jesus. What is our solution? Because the Word of God is solution-based. First of all, you don't have to believe the lie anymore. Don't believe it. That's the first step. First thing, just admit your mind's messed up. Don't even pretend. Because that's the foundational thing. Because once you know that, then you're heading for healing. And then don't believe everything anymore. Challenge yourself. Amen. Why am I feeling this way when nothing is wrong with me?
I was just preparing, meditating this morning on this. And I said, why do I keep, I personally, why do I keep confessing that I can't eat this, I can't eat that, I can't eat this? All of a sudden, I realized there's nothing in the fridge I can eat. The only thing I can eat is what I say I can eat. And I'm worried about it. I start thinking about it. Wait a minute, it's true. I said I can eat millet. I can eat millet from here to kingdom come. It doesn't bother me. And I'm saying I can't eat all these other things. And then once it enters my mouth, wahala starts. So, something's wrong with my mind, not my stomach. When this is cured, this one will do what it's supposed to do. Oh yeah. It will do what it's supposed to do. So the symptoms give us a clue that something might not be right. By their fruits, what did they say? You shall know them. Matthew 7, 16 to 20. The symptoms, if you find yourself swearing, but you don't want to speak it out because you're a Christian, but you're swearing here. You all know what I'm talking about. He says that by their fruit you will know them. Do you gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? By your fruit. Whatever you're experiencing, whatever is manifesting in your body, whatever is manifesting in your thinking, what you're saying, those are fruits. Your actions, our actions, our words, and the responses of our body are fruits of something. Right? They are fruits of something. Remember that everything we do and say is generated by the thoughts, the patterns of our thoughts. So, by what you are experiencing, if you have a headache all the time, before you go take the next Tylenol, you go check your head into the Word of God first. And see there's something wrong with your head. In what you're processing, and what you're believing. Go ahead. 7:17. Even so, every good tree produces good fruit, but the corrupt tree produces evil fruit. We're talking about our minds now. So, when your mind is meditating upon the Word of God, guess what will come out of it? Good will come out of it. When that thought or the pattern is corrupt, guess what will come out of it? Will be corrupt. It will be fruit that is not good. And that fruit can manifest in three ways. Either what I'm saying, or what I'm doing, or in my physical body. Go ahead.
That's 18.
Okay. Thank you. Alright, so let's go to 20. Why'd you stop at 18?
Therefore, by their fruit you will know them. Go ahead.
Oh, that's 20. Okay, thanks.
Alright, so we're solution based. First thing is challenge yourself. Understand that something is wrong with you. Something is wrong with your mind. You know, stop blaming your wife, stop blaming your husband, stop blaming your children, stop blaming your parents, stop blaming the air, the sea, the land, or whatever. Just look at yourself. Okay? Challenge yourself. Be who God wants you to be. Isaiah 55, 7 and 8 says this. Isaiah 55. This is one of my very, very favorite scriptures, is Isaiah 55. Verse 7 and 8. Let the wicked forsake what?
Their way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to Yahweh, and he will have mercy, and on him to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. What is this? For my thoughts and not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says Yahweh. Praise God. You have to take the steps to return. He said the wicked man
the unrighteous one, you must forsake that unrighteous thought. If you want to be healed, you must forsake them and return to the thoughts of God or the patterns of God, because His are not ours. His are higher than ours. We must forsake. So your step to healing, you must reject all that your mind processes that is not of God, especially the patterns. Do you know it's crazy the way the mind works? It's so crazy. You can live in a foreign country for so many years, but you still think as someone who's back where you were born. Because that's where you was formed, your mind was formed. Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Yes, you can migrate to a new place where there are new things and new opportunities, and you miss it because you're stuck in the old. God is changing us. Praise God. So the first step, Isaiah says, we have to migrate away from the old and we have to enter into the new. The new, the thoughts of God. The scriptures points us to freedom and liberty that we found in Jesus Christ. Please go with me to 2 Corinthians 10:5. There are so many scriptures we can consider. We're talking about solutions now. There are so many scriptures we can consider, but we're just going to work with a few here. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says what? Imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every what?
Thought.
Every thought into what?
Captivity.
To the obedience of Christ. We have to take our thoughts captive and make them obey Christ. You have to take your meditations, the way the patterns of your mind and how they operate, you have to take it captive and bring it to obey Christ. Take your thoughts captive. How do you take your thoughts captive? How? How do you take your thoughts captive? Romans chapter 13 verse 14 tells us. Romans 13 verse 14 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for your flesh. This is the process of taking all our thoughts into captivity. He says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision. Provision where? In your mind. No, zero provision for the flesh, for its lust. You put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You wear Him. You assume Him. Assume His nature. Go and find yourself, hide yourself in Him. And how do you do that? How do you put on the Lord Jesus Christ? You meditate on His Word. You meditate on His Word. Watch what Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Praise God. Joshua 1 8. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Joshua 1 8 says this. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day, night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Let me tell you, Joshua
cannot speak that word unless it's first inside of him.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the next thing he says, meditate.
Mm-hmm.
So we meditate. When do you know that 24/7 you're meditating? Even when you're not aware of what you're meditating upon, mm-hmm. your thoughts are on something. You're meditating on something.
Yeah.
Woo, God save us. But you shall meditate on it day and night. What are we called to meditate upon? The word.
Mm-hmm.
Night and day. But you can't meditate on something you're not reading.
That's right.
Or you don't know.
Yeah.
You gotta read. Let me give you another secret that'll help you. Sometimes you're reading the word of God and you read, you don't even understand what you just read. You have no clue what you just read. I have news for you. That happens to all of us. Me too. I can read, and I'm like, what am I reading? I don't even remember what I just read. But don't worry, the word is reading you.
Amen.
Oh yes.
Amen.
The word doesn't need your help to help you.
Amen, amen.
Just meditate, just keep reading.
Yes.
Just keep reading. Just keep reading, keep reading, keep reading. Even if you feel you're not getting it, just keep reading.
Yes.
It's God's word, it's not yours.
Yes.
The understanding will come by His Spirit.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
Oh, God Almighty.
Hallelujah.
It's just the way it is.
Thank you, Jesus.
You keep reading. That's why you have to have what? A dedicated time of reading.
Yes.
You know, I'm really tired of Christians, myself included. Then after 10, 15, 20 years in the Lord, you're still giving God 30 minutes in the morning to read, and then you go about your business. What kind of growth is that?
Yeah.
You eat 3 times a day physical food. Oh, yeah. You drink water as much as you can. Water is good for my body. I drink. It's good for my body. And you can spend only 30 minutes a day reading the Word of God. You think you're growing?
Mm.
Give me a break. Do you want your mind to keep deceiving you? Well, it's your choice. We are making this choice now.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, then get into the Word. Meditate upon it. Right? It used to be people would say, oh, you know what? I have to read the whole Gospels. I have to read the whole gospel. And they start. They read it. Time for work. They get ready. They go into the bus. They read it. Once they get to work, they stop. Break down. They read it. They get back on the train. They read it. Oh yeah. Watch that person. What happens in their life? This is how we are. You got to understand. Remember, I started with a shock. Your mind is evil. By now, I was hoping that somebody would be so upset with the reality that there's evil in their mind to know that this thing is not negotiable. That I cannot live my life in this manner anymore. Somebody now should be so aggravated with themselves to say, you know what? Whatever it takes.
Amen. Amen.
Oh God, yes.
Whatever it takes.
Thank you.
So we put on the Lord Jesus Christ as we meditate upon His Word. Hebrews 4:12. Let me show you the glory and the power of the Word. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God. Look at what you're meditating upon. For the Word of God is living and active. It is sharper than a two-edged sword, and piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit. Soul and spirit. Of both joints and marrow, and is able to discern the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. What are we talking about here? The Word of God. The Word of God. So when you think you're reading without understanding, Don't worry. Don't sweat it. Keep reading.
Know why? Because that thing you're reading is living. It's active. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. It penetrates what? Your soul and your spirit, your bones and your marrows, and discerns every single thought, everything that's going on in your mind. God's word knows it.
Amen.
That's why I said when you're reading, it's reading you. It's reading you. The word of God.
So that's a step. Meditating upon God's word. In Galatians 5, 16 and 17, we are told to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. We have to learn how to practice walking in the Spirit. It says that when you walk in the Spirit, you do not fulfill the desires of the flesh. But I say walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, that you may not do the things that you desire. You walk in the Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It's not a mystery. Let me tell you what to walk in the Spirit. That you notice is capital S. To walk in the Spirit simply means to be obedient, obey the Word. Because the Word is Spirit and it is life. If you obey the Word you read, you are walking in the Spirit. And that is done by the power of the Holy Ghost. So you see the power of the meditation on the Word of God? Now you're meditating and now you're obeying what you're reading. You are walking in the Spirit. And as you're walking in the Spirit, guess what is going on in your mind? You are being transformed because your obedience brings you transformation. In obedience to God's word, he said you are disobeying something else. Disobedience to God's word means you are obeying something else. But now, walking in the Spirit, you are being obedient to God's word. And guess what? You are disobeying the way your mind works before, and all of a sudden, deliverance has come, freedom has come, and nobody laid hands on you. Nobody laid hands on you. And you're like, whoa, I'm free. I'm free. I am free. There's so many things God will allow to buffet you. Because he wants to deliver you. He showed me there's an area of my life, all I do is walk in the flesh. And once that area hits, let me tell you something, right? I'm going to be angry with you, angry with her, angry with you, angry, and you guys have nothing to do with it. It's simply because I'm walking in the flesh.
Yeah.
There are areas of all our lives, yes. It's a mess. It's a mess. Hey, it's a mess. But God is here.
Amen.
God is with
us.
Amen. Oh, no, God is with us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. In John 6:63, Jesus says, my words are spirit. My words are spirit and they are life. Capital S. So to walk in the Spirit is to walk in His Word. To obey His Word. So read that thing. If He says jump, you jump. If He says stand, you stand. He says preach, you preach. He says pray, you pray. And guess what? Keep doing it. You're going to be delivered.
Amen.
You will be set free. You will be set free. Philippians 4. Philippians 4 begins to tell us that when you begin to practice this, you learn how to refocus your thoughts and your mind on the things above and not the things beneath.
Amen.
4:8-9. We begin to learn how to focus on the things that are where God is, where you are, seated in the heavenly places in Christ. You know, when the Bible says you're seated in Christ in the heavenly places, he's not speaking about a physical you physically sitting there. No, he says that you are seated where wisdom is, where the source of knowledge, the source of glory, the source of power, the source of understanding, he's put you there so you can have access. So he says, finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are honorable, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praise, think about these things. Wait a minute. So the last time I was thinking that I had a headache, was that virtuous? Oh, good God Almighty. So don't call pastor and say, Pastor, I have a headache. I'm going to say, change your thought. I'm not praying for you. I'm going to say, go change your thoughts. I said, I'm going to say, go meditate on things that are above, where Christ is, and then call me back. Because if not, I'm wasting your time, I'm wasting my time. Philippians says, meditate these things which you learned, received, heard, and saw in me. Do these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Do what he says you should do, and guess what will happen to you? He said, the God of peace will be with you. Why don't we do what we are supposed to do? Meditate on what is above. If you feel sick, meditate on healing. Isn't that better? Yeah. Why are you miserable saying that I'm sick? Instead of saying, by his stripes, I am healed. Meditate on that. Let your mind be renewed. When you're in strife, instead of saying, woe is me, say, if God is for me, then nothing can successfully be against me. Because he did not spare his son Jesus. He gave Jesus up for me. How shall he not with Christ give me all things? He said, I've given it to you. In Christ you have all things. Why don't you meditate on that? Instead of calling pastor that there's a problem, you do that meditation. That when you call pastor, we have praise, you and I. We're praising and worshiping God. And see how, look how good God is. You know what? When you're free, when I'm free, that's when you're going to get the blessing out of my life. If I'm in bondage, you're not enjoying anything. When you're free, that's when this ministry will prosper. Okay. Y'all think it's just the pastor. Okay, I see. No, it's not just me. When you are free, this ministry will prosper because of your freedom. Colossians 3:1-4. I'm about to wrap up. 3:1-4. I'm giving you scriptures because it's important to meditate on it. It says, if then you were raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Go ahead. Set your mind on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. Go ahead. For you died, the old man died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When, I love this, when Christ, our life is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. I'm going to give you a twist for this. I love that scripture. Think about that. If you keep meditating on Christ, you put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision in your life for the flesh, so that your words, your thoughts, everything is a reflection of Jesus Christ. Guess what? Guess who just appeared in your life? Jesus. He says, don't appear on your own. Let Christ appear first, and then appear with Christ. That is the spiritual principle. You seek to, for Christ to appear in your words, in your actions, in your body. And when somebody looks at you, they say, Christ is in him or her. He says, when you appear with him in that way,
you will appear in glory. Not your glory, but His glory. And how does it all start? Because He says, set your mind on above where He is. Meditate on that which is Christ. That which is above. You read the Word.
Oh, help us. Then we can't forget the power of the Holy Spirit.
None of this is possible without the Holy Spirit. This is why it's so exciting. I want to tell you something. God is dealing with me, and thank God for deliverance. Amen? Let me tell you, when you pray now, pray with full assurance that the Holy Spirit is with you. I'm not saying that you didn't mess up. I'm not saying your mind is not messed up on my mind. But pray with such assurance that He's holding your hand and you can see Him physically. Pray with that confidence and that assurance. Watch what will happen. It's only Him that can deliver us. Because the Bible says He takes that which is of Christ and makes Him known in us. When you pray with such confidence that the Holy Spirit is there, all of a sudden, you know you have to reverence Him. You know you have to walk with Him. You know you're hearing Him. You know you're, oh my good God, all of a sudden, you realize it's not you praying anymore. I hope you don't miss the prayer we had. If you miss it, you didn't get it. No, don't tell me you have schedule on. If you miss it, you didn't get it. You did not get this message. Those pray, if you miss it, it's because you're not getting it. There's no such thing as God taking second fiddle in our lives. Unless you see this thing, it will kill us. If anything else kills us. You think Satan is going to kill you first? No, this is going to kill you first. Our mind will kill us. Do you know how many opportunities you've missed in life because of this? Do you know how many pits you've fallen into because of this? Is this our mind? This is the battle here.
But He has delivered. The Holy Spirit is here.
Amen.
Praise God. Just write this as your reference. Psalm 119 verse 9 to 11. Just write it for your reference. And I'm going to wrap up with John chapter 5. I don't know if I should step into John chapter 5, but I feel like it's important. Let's step into John chapter 5. Psalm 119 verse 9 to 11. You can write that down and meditate on your own. And then we're going to go to John chapter 5. We'll just start with verse 1.
Okay. Stay with me. Stay with me, please. Stay with me. So there's Jesus, right? John 5, 1. After these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem by the sheep gate, there is a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, or paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. You can stop. Go back there. Go back to the truth. In these lay a great multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, or paralyzed. Watch.
What? If you were to describe that location today, what would you call that place?
Church. It's a church. This is us. And we're here waiting for somebody to move the water. We are waiting for somebody to move the water so we can get healed. And we will never get healed.
Watch.
This is their thinking. This is their paradigm. So everybody here believes this. Woo! Who established this? Where did the Bible say that God can only heal one person at one time? Where does the Bible say that? So this is a paradigm established by them.
As long as you stay in that paradigm, you don't get healed. Forever. I'm going to watch what will happen. Because this is what's happening to us. We're Christians. But watch what is happening to us. We come for the stirring of the water. But guess what? You can never make it in. Go ahead. For an angel went down certain times in the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made whole of whatever disease he had. What kind of angel is that? Who gave that angel assignment? What kind of angel goes and stirs the water one time and whoever gets in healed? Yet all the Bible says is, you step in, you get healed. And so we carry this paradigm.
Yeah.
It sounds like God, it walks like God, it walks like God, and we say it's God, and there's no healing. This is what's going on in our minds. We come to church, we raise hands, we dance, we do this, and we say we are healed. No, you're not healed. It sounds like God, but that's not what God brought you here for. He brought you so your mind can be renewed, transformed in the image of Jesus Christ. If the message is not touching you to change you, that's what's happening. And we're going to stay there for 100 years, 1 million years, you'll change. I have a question for you. You don't have to answer, because I'll answer it. Will Jesus ever go against God? You agree. Jesus will never go against God. So whatever Jesus is going to do, we know it's God's position. And if Jesus does it, that means he doesn't agree with that. Please continue. A certain man was there who had been sick for 38 years. How long is your sickness? How long is what's going on with you been going on? Think about it. How long are you struggling with that thing? How long has it been going on? Long. As long as you can recall, right? When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been sick for such a long time, he asked him, by the way, do you want to be made well? Oh, what is Jesus saying? He's saying, young man, what you're doing now here, are you doing it so you can be well? No, Jesus wants to understand from him. Is that a reason so he can be well? You're listening to that paradigm, you're thinking that way, is that what you believe will bring you your healing? Is that what will bring you your healing? Is it the clapping of hands and no transformation that will bring you healing? Is it saying praise God every time I say a word that will bring you your healing? No! What brings you your healing is what? A transformed mind. And so, the man then goes. The man answered, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool. That's it. The mind keeps playing that game. You go here, it goes there. Your mind will always find an excuse for you. You don't have to look far. When that processing is not of God, when it's evil, when you try and tackle it this way, it goes this way. It will find a reason why you can't succeed. It will find a reason why you should fail. It will find a reason why you can't glorify God. It will find a reason why you can't be everything God wants you to be. The man says, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. You know, I picture this. All these people lying there waiting. Can you imagine the animosity? Think about that environment. It's not even an environment for God at all. Because
he's bitter, he's angry that he can't get there first, and somebody's sitting down and pushing and shoving, I'm going to be the first, I'm going to be... Oh, you think it was stable? It wasn't stable. Where is the God in that?
Ooh, God Almighty, God is helping me.
Jesus said to him, enough of that nonsense, arise, take up your mat and walk.
Now, you agree with me that Jesus will not go against God.
He just went against everything that man said. And that man said he thought it was God. But Jesus says, no, that's not God. Let me show you God. And the moment the man connected with God, this man believed he was lame. Jesus never saw him as lame. He was lame in his mind. Let me tell you something. Some of us are crippled in our minds. And it's manifested in our bodies. And we can't walk. When you get delivered here, you will rise up, you will walk.
Why didn't Jesus go and stir the water and pull him and say, you get it? Why didn't Jesus do that? Jesus took God's position. Now, where you are, get up, go home. In that instant, it happened to him. This man got up. You got to understand, this man got up on a Sabbath day, picked up his mat. In their time, that would be working against the Sabbath. This man was so renewed in his mind, he could violate Sabbath laws, he could look Sabbath police in the face and challenge all of them and keep walking. Why? Because his mind is renewed. They said, what are you doing? He said to them, this man who said to me, pick my mat up and walk, I carry this thing. This is what freedom looks like. This is what God's plan is for us.
Amen.
Not that you suffer and die in that misery. No. It's that you pick up your mat and have dominion over it.
Amen.
God gave us our mind to have dominion. When he says have dominion, where do you think he was talking about? No, it was in our mind. He says have dominion. So Adam and Eve can speak to anything they want, and that thing will respond to them. It was in their mind. We have dominion, but it's messed up, and now it must be restored in holiness and righteousness.
Amen.
And you will have freedom. Come free. Come to service free. You will lay hand on pastor, and pastor will be free.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. God is not a respecter of persons. God does not respect anybody. Anyone who calls upon his name in truth, God shows himself.
And God is saying, I've come to set you free. For freedom, Christ came to set us free.
So we are no longer yoked with slavery. God has set us free. God has set us free. Do not accept. Let me tell you, like he said, the fruit is the evidence of the tree. So the symptoms of your life is the evidence that something is wrong. Not for you to accept that something is wrong. It's just the evidence. And don't accept the symptoms. Rebuke the symptoms. Stand against our symptoms. Stand on the word of God. Meditate on God's word and stand on the symptoms. And let's see what happens.
That's why God said to Joshua, let this word never depart. Let it cannot depart from your mouth.
You must meditate upon it night and day to remember all that is written. Then you will be prosperous. He said that prosperity we spoke about, it was in the mind. You can be so prosperous in your mind that everything, there's nothing around you that dies.
Nothing can die around you because of the prosperity of your mind. This is what Jesus did for us. The blood can never be in vain. God forbid that. The devil is still alive.
Yes.
We are the ones victorious.
We have the truth. Devil has a lie.
Yes.
We have to do what we are supposed to do. We must engage. You must engage. You must engage. You must engage. You got to go back to see what God is saying to us today.
Yes.
I hope you see it. I'm done. Praise the Lord. Let us pray.